This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. Dear Muslims, of Allah's blessings upon us, which are explicitly mentioned in the Quran, is the spectrum of diversity within the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In multiple verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to ponder over the diversity of creation. He asks us to think about the different creation out there. He asks us to ponder about اختلافوا ألسنتكم وألوانكم, the differences of your colors, the differences of your languages. He asks us to look at the creation of the heavens and the earth, the alternation of the night and the day. And through all of this, Allah says, in this is an ibrah, in this is a lesson and a message for the people of intellect. And of the diversities that is especially relevant right now is the diversity of the seasons, the diversity of the temperatures on earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, of His miracles and signs, is اختلافُ, the differences between the night and the day, and the خَلْق, and the creation of the sun and the moon. And Allah references لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ, إِلَافِهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ, of their miracles and of the customs of the Quraysh, is their different journeys in the summer and the different journeys of the winter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions of the creation alternation in Surah Furqan. Allah says, هُوَ الَّذِي, He is the one who has made the ikhtilaf of the night and the day, الْعِبْرَةً, a succession and a means of a contemplation, لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَذَّكَّرَ أَوْ أَرَادَ شُكُورًا, whoever wants to benefit and whoever wants to show thankfulness. Allah mentions the differences of the seasons and the differences of the night and day. Allah mentions them in order to show that whoever wishes to thank Allah may do so. And so there is divine wisdom in creation. There is divine wisdom in creation, and there is divine wisdom in the alternation of the creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions of these wisdoms is the difference between the summer and the winter. So today's khutbah is about some benefits, some rulings, some theological and fiqhi rulings that are pertinent to this time season, and that is the time season of winter. And yes, indeed, there are evidences in the Quran and Sunnah. There are traditions of the Sahaba in which they talked about winter, and they talked about some of the benefits and the perks of winter. In fact, there is a hadith in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad reported that the Prophet ﷺ said that of the most easiest ghanima you can get. Ghanima here means benefit and booty. Of the biggest ghanimas you can get is to fast during the days of the winter. Our Prophet ﷺ mentioned that this is a blessing that every one of us has access to. The famous companion, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, he said, the winter season is actually the spring for the believer. Pause here. Spring is when we are the most excited. Spring is when the flowers are blooming. Spring is when all of the vegetation is coming back. We look forward to the spring. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said, the winter season is in fact the spring for the believer. Why? He was asked. He said, its night becomes longer so you can pray tahajjud, and its days become shorter so you can fast with ease. And Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullahu ta'ala, remarked, what a beautiful season is the winter. Its night, Allah has made it long so that you can make qiyam in an easier manner. And its days are better temperature, easier for you to fast with. End quote. And Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, the famous scholar of Islam, who wrote over 75 books. He wrote one book about the blessings of the seasons. He has an entire book about the blessings of the seasons. And he commented on these traditions. And he said, the reason why winter is the spring for the believer is just like the animal enjoys the spring. After having gone through a winter, now it has all of the different flowers, all of the different crops it is grazing on. So too, when winter comes, the believer grazes on different activities of worship that were difficult for him before the winter. Because Ibn Rajab says, the believer is now easily able to bear the temperature of the day so that they can fast without feeling thirsty. And Maghrib and Fajr, the time is much easier. And he says, the night becomes long, Fajr is delayed. And so one can wake up easier and perform the tahajjud with ease, end quote. So Ibn Rajab also comments on this fact that winter is in fact the spring for the believer. And so the main blessing, therefore, of this time frame is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows for us this diversity of creation, the diversity of temperatures, the diversity of the timings of Fajr and Maghrib, so that we can do in this season what we cannot do in other seasons. And particularly, primarily, the two main blessings that come are the blessings of tahajjud and the blessings of siyam, the blessings of the ease of praying at night and the blessings of being able to fast during the day. As we're all aware, during the winter months, tahajjud becomes easier because Fajr is delayed. So we can now wake up half an hour before Fajr and we can now pray with ease. Rather than praying Fajr at 4, 4:30, now Fajr is at 6:15, 6:30. So we can wake up even a little bit before Fajr and we can pray tahajjud. Similarly with the fast, now that Fajr is coming in around 6 o'clock and Maghrib is also coming roughly around 6 as well, and the temperature is easy. So now the Prophet ﷺ said, Siyamu shita, the fasting of the winter, is al-ghanimatul barida, the easy war booty that one can obtain by. Also, along with these spiritual blessings, there are also fiqhi rulings that are pertaining to the cold season of the winter. One of the rules of the Sharia, one of the maxims of the Sharia that we learn from our tradition, is that when things become difficult, the Sharia becomes easy. There is a tradition, there is a principle in fiqh, كُلَّمَا ضَاقَ الْأَمْرُ اتَّسَعَ. The more difficult life becomes, the easier the Sharia becomes. The more there's difficulty in day-to-day, the more laxities are in the Sharia. And in another maxim of the Sharia, al-mashaqqatu tajlibu at-taysir, difficulty begets ease. So what are some of the ease that the Sharia has come with during this time frame? A number of things can be said, and obviously this khutbah is not comprehensive. Of the blessings that we should be aware of, is that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam incentivized us with extra rewards to do our wudu during this season. He mentioned in a number of traditions, this tradition is mentioned by more than six companions. He mentioned, should I not tell you about the biggest blessings that causes your sins to be forgiven and your ranks to be raised up? And he mentioned two or three things. And one of them, he said, is that making wudu during times of cold and difficulty. Itmamul wudu'i fil makarih. So he's encouraging us, we wake up for Fajr, we wake up for Tahajjud, and it's a bit cold and the water is cold. We should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that small difficulty will bring about great blessings in the Akhirah. In another tradition mentioned in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Do you want to know what the angels are arguing is the best of all good deeds?" They said, "What?" He mentioned two or three things, and one of them, he said, is that to do wudu and to do it well at times of difficulty. And at times of difficulty means when the temperature is cold. So doing wudu in this season becomes an act of worship. We thank Allah something so trivial as wudu. We thank Allah an act and a ritual that is so routine, it has become so blessed during these days. However, this needs to be understood with some caveats. Of the caveats we need to understand, the Sharia does not ask us to intentionally make life difficult. This is when you don't have hot water. So the question arises, should we, in the current circumstances, intentionally not turn on the hot water, thinking that Allah will reward us more? No, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not asking us to torture ourselves for no reason. This is a blessing that if you don't have hot water, and it is cold water, expect Allah to reward you. We should understand the Sharia never asks us to make life difficult for no reason. No, when the Sharia is demanding something from us, and it requires a little bit of exertion, we get extra reward. If we can make that exertion with ease, if we can do that difficulty with a little bit of convenience, we are not earning less rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a man once standing in the sun, and he was standing there for many hours, and the Prophet said, "Why is he standing there?" And he was told, the people around him said, "Ya Rasulullah, he made an oath to Allah that he would stand in the sun for a long period of time." The Prophet said, "Tell this man to break his oath. Allah has no need of this type of ritual. Allah doesn't want to make life difficult for no reason. This is not the way you worship Allah, but intentionally making things more difficult." So the first caveat is that the Sharia is not asking you to make life more difficult. If there is not any hot water and you have to do wudu with cold water, then expect Allah to reward you extra. But if you have hot water, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and take advantage of that. Another caveat we have to add here is that obviously this only applies in circumstances where one's life is not in danger. Now obviously this is not the case in our houses, in the climate that we live in, but imagine if you were in the desert and it is freezing cold, and in that temperature or climate you have to do wudu or ghusl. It is authentically narrated that Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala an narrated the story in Sahih Bukhari. He said that once the Prophet ﷺ sent me on an expedition, and it was a freezing cold night in the middle of the desert. A freezing cold night. And I woke up, I was the commander, I woke up and I was in the state of janab. I had a wet dream. And I thought, if I do ghusl now, then this is the end of me. So he said, I did tayammum, and I led my people in Salat al-Fajr in the state of janabah, having done tayammum. And then I returned home, and the news spread that he led us without doing ghusl. He led us only doing tayammum. So the Prophet ﷺ called me. He said, is it true that you led your companions in the state of janabah? Is it true you led Fajr without, you know, doing wudu? He said, Ya Rasulullah, it was freezing cold. You know, the temperature in the desert gets very cold at night. It was freezing cold. And I thought to myself, if I were to pour water on me now, this would be the end of me. And Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Don't cause your own destruction. So I didn't want to cause my own destruction, and I did tayammum. So the Prophet ﷺ laughed and did not disapprove of what he had done, which indicates that yes, when life is difficult, yes, when the situation is life-threatening, the Sharia becomes easy in this regard. Now obviously we do not have this situation within our households, but you should be aware that Sharia has come with this level of ease. Another ruling that we can take advantage of in this cold season is the ruling of masah over our socks, the ruling of wiping over our socks. And it is authentically narrated that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave this concession to the Sahaba, that the one who is traveling can wipe for 3 days, and the one who is muqim can wipe for 1 day. And our Khalifa Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said that whoever wears his socks after having done tahara, let him wipe over his socks for an entire day from the hour that he wore his socks. So where you wear, you can 24 hours, you may wipe over them. Now if you're aware of this minor controversy in our books of fiqh, and that is the conditions of the sock, as you're probably aware, some of the madhab say it must be leather, and other madhab say no, any sock does the job. And this is not the time to get into the details of this, but the position that I follow, Ibn Taymiyyah has a long fatwa on this, Imam Ahmad has explicit statements on this, that the Sharia has come with ease. And so any foot covering that covers the foot, it is something you may do masah over as long as you have wudu when you put those coverings on. And also our scholars mention that if there are multiple coverings in one, then as long as you put them on at the same time, it will constitute one covering. And they say this based upon the fact that the Sahaba, some of them, their socks were basically strips of cotton or strips of garment that they would wrap around their feet, and that would be their sock. And so that is the equivalent of multiple layers. So if you have a sock and then you have a shoe on it, but you wore it at the same time, you may do masah as long as you had wudu when you wore your socks and shoes at the same time. And if there are other opinions and you wish to follow them, they're all good, insha'Allah ta'ala. Of the rulings that we should be aware of during the winter season as well, is that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave a concession for the cold season, that those that are in the masjid and it is very cold, that they may combine the salawat, or those that are not in the masjid and it is very dangerous, they should not come to the masjid. Ibn Umar radiallahu anh once gave the adhan in his time frame. And in the adhan, instead of saying hayya ala salah, he said, pray in your houses. And it was a cold night. He said, don't come to the masjid, pray in your houses. So somebody said to him, why did you change hayya ala salah to pray in your houses? He said, one night it was very cold in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said to us, don't say hayya ala salah, say sallu fi rihalikum, pray in your houses. So I'm following that sunnah. Now obviously this applies when the roads are a bit slippery or dangerous. This applies when there might be ice for us on the road. The Sharia is not asking us to do something that is potentially harmful. Also, we learn from the traditions in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim that on multiple occasions, when it was raining severely, when it was very cold, when the Sahaba had gathered for the first of the two salawat, Dhuhr and Asr, or Maghrib Ibn Isha, the Prophet would say to them, you may combine so that you don't have to come back for the other salah. Now this only applies to those that are in the masjid in difficult times. Obviously, if you're at home, you don't combine Dhuhr and Asr or Maghrib and Isha because of the cold. This is if somebody has come to the masjid and the circumstances are difficult outside. In that case, the Prophet applied it in a very severe situation. Obviously, one word of caution also applies in the winter months, and that is that because the time of the salah becomes so close, many people unfortunately do not pay attention to Dhuhr and Asr timings, and they let it go by and realize we are not allowed to delay Dhuhr until after the time of Asr comes. Even if we're at work, no matter what we are, we must take a few minutes out and go to a corner or find a safe place to pray. And it is something that unfortunately too many people get lax about in the winter months. Just because the salawat are closer doesn't give us an excuse to make qada for no reason of our salawat. It is a major sin. And Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. The prayers are assigned at their correct times. كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. There are particular times you must pray in. Now there's one concession that many scholars, in fact the majority of scholars, have allowed this. It's not really a concession, but it is something that is permissible. It's not something we should take as a habit. And yet still, because of the circumstances we find ourselves in this climate, it might be useful to know that the vast majority of scholars have allowed what is called al-jama' al-suri, and that is the illusion of combining. You don't actually combine, but if somebody were to see you without knowing what you're doing, they might think you're combining. And Ibn Hajar comments on this, Imam An-Nawawi comments on this, and they say that it is allowed to delay dhuhr to the very end timing, 10 minutes before Salat al-Asr comes, and you pray dhuhr. And then with the same wudu, you wait a few minutes, when Asr comes in, you may then pray Asr as well. This is something that is allowed. And because you prayed every prayer on its time, you are not actually combining. But you have to be very careful that you're monitoring the correct timing. So suppose Asr comes in at, let's say, 3:55. So you pray Dhuhr at 3:45, and you pray it properly, and you pray it on time, and then you wait. And then when 3:55 comes and it is time for Asr, then you wait a minute or two, and then you pray Salat al-Asr. This is something that is jaiz. It is not good to do, but given our workplaces, given the corporate environment we find ourselves in, it might be useful to know and some concession to follow if we're not able to pray each prayer at its exact timing. There is no sin on doing this because you are praying Dhuhr in its proper time and you are praying Asr in its proper time. And the same can go for Maghrib and Isha, obviously not for Asr and Maghrib, for Maghrib and Isha and for Dhuhr and Asr, you may do what is called Al-Jama' Al-Suri or the illusion of Jama', it is not actual Jama'. And the final point we'll mention, and of course this is a sunrise khutbah, so many other rulings can be given that are a benefit to us, is that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cautioned us about taking regular precautions about this season. It is reported in Sahih Bukhari that one of the houses in Medina, they burnt down in the winter because they had let the fire on. Because it was cold at night, they had let the fire on. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that these fires, sometimes shaitan uses them to harm you. So be careful. And in one version he said that turn the fires off at night. Now obviously he's speaking in a different environment where there were no precautions, that they didn't have the checks and balances we do, but he actually instructed the people in Medina to not have the fires that are just there without being monitored for the rest of the night. Obviously in our situation we have checks and balances within our appliances, but still the principle applies. And that principle is that the Sharia wants us to protect ourselves and our families. The Sharia wants us to take reasonable precautions where we do not cause undue hardship and harm to our families. And the winter season is coming, and as you know, sometimes the taps, they freeze up, other things happen. So take precautions, and we thank Allah for such a beautiful religion that has taught us to take precautions for our daily needs. We thank Allah, we are rewarded for the daily routines of the summer and the winter. We thank Allah that the Sharia has come with concessions even for the seasons, and all of this demonstrates the beauty of the Sharia, the simplicity of the Sharia, the purity of the Sharia, and the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants ease for us and not difficulty for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me and you with and through the Quran, and may He make us of those who His verses they understand and applies halal and haram throughout our lifespan. Ask Allah's forgiveness, you as well ask Him, for He is the Ghafoor and the Rahman. الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وبعد. O Muslims, we watch with trepidation, with worry about what is happening around the globe. And there are things happening across the globe which at one point the heart is saddened by, and at others they find optimism in. And the situation in Bilad al-Sham, the situation in Syria is one such situation where our hearts are happy that the people are finding a source of liberation, the people are overthrowing the shackles of tyranny and injustice, and with cautious optimism we make dua for those people. O Muslims, realize that Bilad al-Sham is not like any other land. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made so many duas for that land, and he said in a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, Allahumma barik lana fi shamina, O Allah, bless us in our Bilad al-Sham. And Bilad al-Sham encompasses Syria and Lebanon and Jordan and Palestine, that entire area. And he said, O Allah, bless us in our Bilad al-Sham. And he said this when Bilad al-Sham was under the Byzantine Empire. The Muslims did not control Bilad al-Sham. And yet he said, this is our Bilad, Bilad al-Sham, our Bilad. This is Shamina, our Bilad al-Sham. He ascribed it to the Muslim Ummah. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam praised the people of Sham. And he said that Iman will always go back over there. And he mentioned that there's always going to be groups of people that are apparent upon the truth until the day of judgment. And he said, you will find them in Sham and around Bilad al-Sham. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the people of Sham, the sincere, the righteous people of Sham. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect them from the tyrannies and injustices that they have undergone. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to see victory for the righteous people over the tyrants and the evildoers. Make dua for them and for for all of the ummah. And there is a lot of ibrah, O Muslims, look at the world and look at the situation. Who could have predicted in every single area there's flames and pockets of antagonism going on? Only Allah knows the future. So take advantage of the peace that we are in right now. Take advantage of our beautiful civil society that we're in to make sure that your relationship with Allah is strong, to make sure that your ibadah is something that you are doing perfectly. There are people around the globe, they don't have the luxury to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're constantly under threat of bombs, under threat of immigration. And here we are, alhamdulillah, in peace, in afia, in security. What excuse do we have to not be close to Allah? Learn from the lessons of history. Look at what is happening in every single region of the world. Who could have imagined all of these things happening? It's not just Gaza anymore, and we're still making dua for Gaza. Look at our brothers and sisters in Sudan and the reality of what is happening over there. Look at what is happening in Yemen. Look at what is happening in the Uyghur place in China. Look at what is happening across the world, and now in Bilad al-Sham as well. So many things are happening. So let the wise person take a lesson from this. Let the person prepare for the unexpected tomorrow. We do not know what is going to happen tomorrow. So the wise person prepares today in expectation for tomorrow. And the bulk of that preparation is going to be with the taqwa of Allah. وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى. Prepare yourselves. And the best preparation is the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now is the time to establish that connection with Allah, to make sure your prayer rituals are on time, to make sure you understand your faith and your deen, to make sure you and your children are upon the truth and upon sirat الحق and the مستقيم, because you do not know what is going to happen tomorrow, and be prepared for that unexpected reality tomorrow. And along with that, make constant dua to Allah for afia, to protect us and our children and our loved ones, and to bless the ummah with khair and with taqwa. اللهم إني داعٍ فأمنوا اللهم لا تدع في هذا اليوم ذنبا إلا غفرت ولا همّا إلا فرجت ولا دينا إلا قضيت ولا مريضا إلا شفيت ولا عسيرا إلا يسرت. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بسوء فاشغله بنفسه وجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز. عباد الله, إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه, فقال عز من قائل عليما, إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي, يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك رسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عباد الله, إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم ذكر الله تعالى أكبر وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة, حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة, قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
لا إله إلا الله. استو, اعتدلوا.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين, الرحمن الرحيم, مالك يوم الدين, إياك إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء والله على كل شيء قدير. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار ربنا إنك من تدخل النار فقد أخزيته وما للظالمين من أنصار الأنصار ربنا إننا سمعنا مناديا ينادي للإيمان أن آمنوا بربكم فآمنا ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Just a reminder that tonight, inshallah, we have our annual fundraiser for our girls' school, QCA. So inshallah, please make sure you come at 6 o'clock. It is our premier fundraiser, and it is for a cause that honestly every one of us should be worried and concerned about. It is our own daughters, our own community, our own future. So please, inshallah ta'ala, come today. And inshallah, there's also, according to our president, there's very good biryani. What is the... No, not biryani. Oh, kebabs. Okay, so there's very good kebabs for all of us, inshallah. Okay, so 6 o'clock today, inshallah. Jazakallah khair.